Be with you again here at Unity Baptist Church in the great metropolitan city of Ripley, Mississippi. It's always good to be in a suburb of Hickory Flat, amen? And I've enjoyed the meeting again. I've enjoyed the fellowship with the pastor and his wife. Of course, it's been a little bit different this year. She's had a headache, and so she's not had much to say. But normally, I have to separate them two or three times while I'm there. But we love Brother Ronnie, love his family. Not everybody has two children, and one of them turned out right. And we appreciate the way your son turned out. What a blessing. And we're praying for the other one. If she'd ever quit dipping that snuff, I believe she'd get right with God. But we sure do love the Bearfield family. And I'll tell you right now, I love the Rochesters. Because of what I do, I know a lot of groups, and I've been around a lot of groups. And I'll just tell you right now, they're not my favorite, but I love them, and I thank God. I'm just kidding. Oh, Billy Kelly used to say, boy, about all the preachers in the world I know, you're one of them, amen? But I've traveled with the Rochesters literally all over this country. And, brother, I'm telling you, they're the same everywhere you go. They're the same on the bus and off the bus and in the church and out of the church. And there's probably not a man in America that I have any more respect for than I do Brother Harold Rochester. And I love him and thank the Lord for him. And I'll tell you right now, I love to watch him watch them grandbabies. It makes me want grandbabies, but I don't want a son-in-law. I'm 42. My little girl is 15, and I'm practicing hating her husband. I'm determined to be a cantankerous father-in-law. Amen. Like you, Brother Ronnie. Praise the Lord. And I love these people. I love them so much. And what you see on this platform is real. Is real. And I tell this everywhere I go. There's a lot of country music groups that would love to get their hands on Brother Benjamin. And pay him a whole lot more money than what he makes now. But I'm so glad that he give God his talent. And we have been blessed for him. And I was back there picking a while ago, and I didn't get to do that. But all you men of God that stood up, I want to salute you tonight. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Every time they sing that song, there's two or three people I think about. I think about my daddy, who preached for 47 years before he had that stroke and put him out. And he sits at our church now on the right-hand side with his little cane. And he's got so weak now, he can't even say amen. But when he's listening and when he's tuned in, he'll shake that cane at me. That means go get 'em, boy. I know what that means. That means go get 'em, boy. And then every time they sing that song, I can't help but think about Edward Vernon McAbee. I can just see that 12-inch foot and that 4-foot finger. I'll tell you right now, the epitome of a preacher. Every time they sing that. And the other night, I was preaching with Dr. McAbee, and I sat back there and heard that man of God preach. And I thought, my, he's preaching the same thing he was the first time I heard him over 25 years ago. You see, when you write, you don't change. I said, when you're right, you don't change. Because if you were right and then changed, that means you went wrong. Amen. And I praise God for those old preachers. That reminds me of that old lady that was getting ready to die. An old maid, never been married, never been out on a date. And her sister come and said, well, what do you want me to do for you? She said, I'm telling you right now, I don't care about the casket, I don't care about the dress, but I want all women pallbearers at my funeral. She said, why? She said, the boys wouldn't take me out when I was young and they ain't going to take me out now. She wasn't going to change. Now, you blondes will get that in a minute, but I promise you that'll... But I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. One of them big preachers, whoever they are, sent me word the other day. He said, tell Joe, we're first sorry for him preaching all them little spots. Well, don't you tell them what a time I'm having. They might want to get in on it. Amen. And I'll tell you tonight, isn't the Lord good for us to be together like this and worship God? And if somebody feels like saying hallelujah, they can lift their hand and say amen. I'm glad we live in a country where we got that kind of freedom. And thank God for what we have tonight. The book of Daniel, chapter number 10. When you talk about Daniel, immediately you think about prophecy. And I'm telling you up front, I'm not going to preach on prophecy. The reason why I'm not going to preach on prophecy, I don't know anything about it. And I think some of this stuff other people preach on, I don't know where in the world they got that from. I mean, they're so smart. I mean, they know how many hairs is in the horse's tail in the book of the Revelation. And I said to a fellow one night, I said, man, you preach so vivid, it sounds like you've met the Antichrist. He said, I have, boy. I've been married to her for 40 years. Amen. And I mean to tell you, I don't know a whole lot about prophecy. But I know this much about it. Jesus is coming again. And when He comes down, I'm going up and we're going over. And I'm glad for that tonight. But in the book of Daniel, there is more than just prophecy. There are some great practical truths found in the book of Daniel. When you come to Daniel chapter number 10, Daniel has come to a place of vexation in his life. When you come to chapter number 10, Daniel has entered into the lowest valley of his faith experience. In fact, not just one day, but for 21 days. For 21 days, Daniel fought the devil. For 21 days, he fought discouragement and depression. I heard a preacher say not long ago that he had been saved over 20 years, and he had never been in the valley. You know what I think about that? A, he's the most spiritual man that ever lived. B, or he's the biggest liar that ever walked on God's earth. And in this test of multiple choice, I choose B for my answer. I'm telling you, brother, there's times when we get down in the valley. Daniel is so vexed in this chapter that he don't eat. He don't drink. Daniel is so vexed in this chapter that for 21 days he said, I didn't even anoint myself. That's our equivalent of taking a bath. I believe I've met some people lately that was discouraged because it smelled like it had been about 21 days since they had anointed themselves. But I will tell you this, you can get so vexed in your spirit that you don't want to drink, you don't want to eat, you don't want to fellowship, you don't want to get around anybody, you feel like you're so low, you could just crawl off in a hole somewhere and die. But I'm glad even in the lowest valley, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Even in the most vexation, even in the most darkest place of our life, I'm glad God has still got us on His mind and in His heart and in His hand. And at the end of 21 days, God came on the scene. May I remind you, when God shows up, business picks up. And when God came on the scene, I love what He told Daniel. He said, 21 days ago, I heard your prayer. When you first set your heart toward me, I heard it way back then. He said, I had to fight hell and the devil to get to you. But I heard your prayer 21 days ago. And boy, I'm glad tonight that God knows my heart. I'm glad tonight that God knows my need. And I'm glad tonight that God has felt my sorrow. I'm glad God has heard my prayer. And I'm glad tonight help is on the way. And can I make this statement tonight? When the sovereign God of heaven decrees His will and action, nothing can stop Him. Water can't stop Him. He'll walk on it. A stone can't stop Him. He'll crush it to pieces. Starvation can't stop him. He'll feed the 5,000. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire can't stop him. He'll walk around in a spiritual asbestos suit. And I'm glad the grave can't stop it, because he'll kick the lid off and walk out on the other side. And a cross can't stop him. He'll bleed on him. And the devil can't stop him, because he defeated him at Calvary. And when the sovereign God of heaven decrees his will in action, nothing can stop him. I remind you tonight that God's trains run on time. And God is never a day late, nor a dollar short. Just because he may be delayed, that don't mean you've been denied. 21 days ago, I heard your prayer. I just feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to tell somebody tonight that may be in a low place in your Christian life. He sees your need. He knows your sorrow. He feels your pain. He's heard your prayer and helps on the way. And before you walk out of those doors tonight, you could have a head-on collision with that same one who locks the jaws of the lions. And praise God, walks around in the midst of the fire. Notice what happened at the end of the 21 days when God came to Daniel. Notice what happened. And I believe tonight what God did for Daniel in this text is what we need in our lives more than anything else that I know of. Verse number 16 of Daniel 10, "And behold one, like the similitude of the sons of men." Here it is. "Touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength." Notice what he says now in verse number 18. "Then there came again." Boy, I'm glad we serve a God who operates in the again world. Boy, I enjoyed that so much. Can I say that again? Oh, I'm glad we serve a God who operates in the again world. Not only is he an affectionate God, an almighty God, an abiding God, and an awesome God. He is an again God. What God's done before, he don't have any problem doing again. I'm glad the Bible said the potter made it again another vessel. I'm glad the Bible said you must be born again. I'm glad the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And I'm glad Jesus even said, "I will come again." I'm glad he operates in the again mode. And I'm telling you tonight that failure is not final with the Father. He is the again God. And there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. Watch this now. "And he," here it is, "strengthened me." In my mind, I can see Daniel. He hasn't eaten, drank, bathed, or shaved for 21 days. He is laying flat on his face in agony. But about that time, God comes on the scene. May I say, you will know it when God arrives. There'll be a familiar feeling that'll swell up in your soul, and you know it'll be God. That'll be a familiar voice speaking to the recesses of your heart, and you know it'll be God. There'll be a familiar hand that'll come across your soul, and you know that it's God. And here lays Daniel flat on his face without any strength. But when God touches him, God strengthens him, and God stands him back up, and God does for Daniel what Daniel cannot do for himself. Aren't you glad in this world of sin and sorrow we serve a God who knows our name, he knows our address, he knows our problem, and just in time, on time, every time, here he comes again and touches us by his mighty power. Boy, I'm glad we serve a God that can touch you and I. May I say tonight, there is no substitute for the touch of God. I preach salvation by grace plus nothing, minus nothing. And we do not base the root of our salvation on feeling. But I'm glad every once in a while I feel saved. Oh, I know we're not supposed to go by our feeling, but I'm glad every once in a while I can feel a tug on the end of the line. And aren't you glad we serve a God that can touch you and I? And if you ever get touched by the hand of God, you'll know you've been touched. It's an almighty touch. It's a big touch. It's a special touch. It's a blessed touch. Praise God, it's a satisfying touch. It's a tender touch, a kind touch, a loving touch, a touch. Aren't you glad we serve a God that can touch you and I? And I don't know how you've been praying lately, but I've just been praying, oh Lord, touch me again. That's what Daniel said in this text. He came and touched me again. Well, aren't you glad we serve a God tonight that's in the touching business? You say, well, preacher, I remember He touched me in years gone by. I'm telling you, He is in the again mode. He's wanting to do her again. You say, well, I felt His touch in days gone by. He wants you to know His touch again. I refuse to run around with this pessimistic crowd believing that nothing else can happen. I'm telling you, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still moves. He still breathes. He still blesses. He still touches. What God's ever done before, God can do it again. Hallelujah. Touch me again. I want to give you three people in the Bible that got a touch from the hand of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter number 18, Elijah. His own Mount Carmel. Son marching in the power of his victory. But in chapter number 19, he done pulled a Baptist fit. You say, what is that? He done crawled under the juniper tree. You say, I've never done that. There are Baptist preachers in this room, and all of y'all's done that. Stand and preach on Sunday night in the power of the Holy Ghost, and before Monday morning comes alive, we done pitched us a pity party. And son, you're looking at a professional pity party pitcher. I can do it with the best of them. People that are wired up like I am. One fellow said I was bipolar. I don't know about that. But I promise you this. I'm either real happy or I'm real sad. I'll never be a modernist because I don't have a moderate gear. I either like you real good and you got it. Son, I'm either way up here soaring with them eagles, or I'm in the valley cooking with a bunch of turkeys. And how we can go from Mount Carmel to the juniper tree in one chapter, I'll never know. Wait just a minute. I think I do know. It's called flesh. And all of us has got some. Some more than others, Brother Butler, but all of us have some. Boy, I'm telling you, there's times when I feel so close to God, I believe I got an angel wing feather in my mouth. And then there's times I feel so cold and away from God, I feel like my prayers don't get no higher than the carpet. I said to Billy Kelly one time, I said, Brother Billy, the way some of these preachers preach, man, they act like they're so holy and spiritual, they don't even kiss their wife. He said, that crowd don't. They wind up kissing somebody else's wife. Son, I've heard these preachers preach, and man, by the time they get through preaching, you would think they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. While they'll have you think every time they pray, heaven stands at attention. And every time they preach, it's Pentecost all over again. And I'm telling you, in the real world, I said in the real world, that cross gets heavy, and that burden gets heavy, and that valley gets deep, and that cross gets heavy, and that night gets long, and sometimes we're not on the mountain high, sometimes we're in the valley low. I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, even in the valley, God's still real, God's still good, and God still cares about us. And Elijah climbs up under the juniper tree. I was in a meeting one day and a preacher said to me, "How are you?" And I said, "I guess I'm okay under the circumstances." He said, "What are you doing under there? Ain't you a victor?" I said, "Yeah, but I forgot my sword today." There's a preacher in Atlanta. God knows I love this man and I would help him to the best of my ability. But every time you see this man, every time, and you ask him, "How's the church?" "Great, great, wonderful." I told my wife the other day, "I wish just one time to make me feel better," he'd say, "Rotten, rotten, rotten." Because I'm going to tell you, that bird don't know it, but I know some of his members. And as long as they're a member of that church, it ain't no way you can be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, I love your preacher. And I love his family. And I love his church. And I don't know that much about it. This is only my third time to be here. But if you like the rest of us, you ain't wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Me and my wife decided to get married and felt led of the Lord to do so. At least she finally talked me into it. Brother Mace Jackson called me up one day and said, "I'm going to recommend you a little church in Atlanta. And you can pastor that little church and go to Bible college in 4 or 5 years. Do something else." And I've been there 20 years. But I ain't been in Bible college that long. I did get out. I wanted to clarify that, or smart over here, Scott would have had something to say about it. He don't never hear any messages or any truth, just all that other stuff, and he wants to make a big deal out of it. And if you ever say anything wrong about him, he'll bring it up at the judgment seat one day. You watch what I'm telling you. Man, we moved 500 miles. We moved from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia to the slummy side of Atlanta, Georgia. And buddy, you do that, you better make sure God's in what you're doing. And I mean the first 5 years, I'm telling you what, it was terrible. We had a, and I'm not being smart, but we had a broken arm piano player. And she knew one song, and I despise that song to this day. "I don't want to get adjusted to this world." I mean, every Sunday morning, about a half out of tune, "I don't want to get adjusted to..." I jumped up one Sunday morning and I said, "You're right! I don't want to get adjusted to this!" And call on somebody to pray. "Oh, God, thank you for our little church. And our little preacher." I had one old man, he'd say, "Oh God, bless Brother Joe today. God, you know how they hate him. And you know how they talk about him. Bless that boy." And I'd come home with the mully grubs. You know what I believe? When we get to heaven, there's going to be a special place for preachers' wives. Because they've had to live with that man. And hear his gripes and his grumbles and his complaints. And watch him go to the pulpit on Sunday and go, "Woohoo, I got victory, baby." And she's going, "He got it somewhere between last night and this morning." Has to laugh at them old jokes. Got his illustrations numbered. That's number 4. And act like she's having a good time. And then listen to him whine on Sunday night. I think I just quit. Now, ladies, let me help you. And just don't go for preacher's wives. Let me help all you ladies tonight. I don't know much about women. I ain't got them figured out yet, but I know these old rotten men.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason why they, I said they, the reason why they mullygrub and pooch mouth, they want this reaction. Oh, baby, you're still wonderful.
Yeah.
You're amen. Still great, old man. Oh, I love you, darling. You are great. You're, ma'am, don't get sick. I'm just telling you how the truth is.
Yeah.
That lady looked at me, looked at him, and said, drop dead, Buster. I'll tell you that. Right? No, Elijah got under that tree. He said, God, I quit. I'm done. I've had it. In fact, no matter, I was dead. That's what he said. And I may be opening a whole can of worms here, and I don't want to do that, but hear me. Don't you ever make fun of somebody who is so emotionally distraught they think about taking their life. That's serious. And you're only 24 hours away from it yourself, from chapter 18 to chapter 19. Well, I ain't ever been that discouraged. God bless you. Pray for the rest of them. And son Elijah got so in the valley, he said, oh God, I wished I was dead. But as Paul Harvey says, here's page 2, the rest of the story. Aren't you glad when Elijah gave up on God? God didn't give up on Elijah. Can I say that again? Aren't you glad when Elijah gave up on God? God didn't give up on Elijah. Because that whole Meridian desert was filled with juniper trees. But hallelujah. I got wrote down on my outline, round and holler, amen right here. Amen right here. That whole Meridian desert, it's filled with juniper trees. But God knew the very one he was under. And that's where God paid him a visit. Your family may not know, your friends may not know, your enemies may not know where you are, but there's a God in heaven that knows where that juniper tree is. And that heavenly visitor flew up under that juniper tree. In plain old Mississippi language, that means he got right down there where he was at. In fancy Yankee language, that means that heavenly partner came over there and ministered to his needs. I've been preaching up north lately, and I've got to practice that so they don't think I'm ignorant. Hey, you too late. I'm right about that. And son, that heavenly visitor flew up under that tree and brought him some goodies from glory. You say, why you call them goodies from glory? Because that's where they're from. I believe he brought him some angel's food. I don't believe he brought him no devil's food cake. I don't believe he brought him no deviled eggs. He might have brought him some angel eggs and some angel cake. It was divine provisions. Goodies from glory. Juice for the journey. And the Bible said that he touched him. And boy, Elijah being a Baptist went to sleep again. By rights, God should let him die and rotted under that tree. But let me say, when he gave up on God, God didn't give up on him. And the Bible said that visitor came and touched him again and said, Elijah, get up and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. And God touched him, and he stood on Mount Horeb, and he heard God in that still small voice. I'm glad in the lowest valley, in the darkest night, God can touch us again. Woo! I want to say with Elijah, oh God, touch my life. I want to tell you, the church as a whole tonight is not on Mount Carmel anymore. The devil's done put us up under them juniper trees. The average Baptist church in America tonight's not thriving. It's barely surviving. Son, I heard a preacher on radio the other day. He said, so many people are coming to Christ in our town. In 10 more years, our church alone will sweep the entire state of Virginia into the kingdom of God. I went, wow. Wow. I want to tell y'all something. It might be happening like that up there in Virginia, but it ain't happening like that in Georgia, and it ain't happening like that in Ripley, Mississippi, neither. God's church, I hate to say this, is not in the thriving mode. Son, we're talking about survival. But I'm glad even in the midst of doubt and storms, and doom and gloom, hallelujah, God is still flying around the perimeter.
Yeah.
And He knows the deepness of the valley. He knows the location of the juniper tree. He knows the weight of the burden and the heat of the battle and the number of the enemy. And I'm telling you this, God is good and God is faithful. He'll come. He'll touch. And I'm glad when God comes on the scene and touches us, He gives us strength for the journey. And Elijah said, I'm done. But when God touched him, He said, you ain't done. Get up, boy. Get up, boy. Son, that ball of fire come by and God wasn't in it. I met a few balls of fire God wasn't in. Bible said that earthquake come by and God wasn't in it. I've heard a whole lot of shaking God wasn't in. I come that whirlwind and God wasn't in it. And I've seen a lot of whirlwinds that God wasn't in. But son, when the doors had stopped and the dust had cleared, and the smoke had settled. Elijah. A still small voice. If I get bogged down right here, we're going to be here to New Year's. But we ain't got but two nights, and I might as well lay the plow down while I'm here. If I'm going to talk to Brother Ronnie, and Brother Ronnie's sitting here, and I'm way over here, I'm going to have to speak up. So He can hear me. But if Ronnie's sitting over here, and I'm sitting here beside of him, and I'm not going to say, hey, brother, glory to God, how you doing? No, if I'm close enough, I can say, hey, Ron, how you doing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're close enough, you can whisper and be heard. Here Elijah thinks God is not in a million miles. But what I want to say, Elijah, whoo! Oh, Lord, if I'd only been this much fun, I'd have come back last Sunday night. Hey, whoo! Elijah felt like God was a million miles away, but I feel like saying, Elijah, He's a whole lot closer than you think. In fact, Elijah, He done got so close to you. He's in that whispering mood. I want to tell you, God's had to thunder at me a time or two. God's had to raise His voice and get my attention a time or two. But oh, don't you like them times? When you's like John the Beloved, you done crawled up in his lap. You's like Mary, you done climbed down there at his feet. And he whispered. Boy, how do you remember old Mary? She's at that tomb. She feels like her Lord's gone. And about that time, all He does is say, Mary. He didn't give her a 5-point dissertation on the resurrection. He just said, Mary. That's all it took. Mary. Son, can you see her? She runs out of that garden. She runs up there in that upper room where them disciples are hid for fear. Knocks on that door. One of them said, who is it? It's Mary. It's open the door, man. It's Mary. Open the door, dude. Open the door, man. I got something to tell you. What is it, Mary? He's alive. He's alive. Oh, boys, he's alive. I hear one of them say, well, Mary, calm down now. You know how you women are. Calm down. How do you know? She said, boys, I know. Because I heard him when he called my name. My mama called me Mary. My daddy called me Mary. My friends called me Mary. But ain't nobody ever said Mary like he said. Woo! Aren't you glad? In that valley, under that tree. sea, through the clouds. You heard Him speak in a still small voice, and He called your name, and He touched you with His mighty power. I want to say with Elijah, oh God, touch my life. Number two, real quickly. What about the prophet Isaiah? For five chapters, he was preaching a barn burner. And his main point was, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them. Oh, but one day, he got beyond himself. And he got beyond King Uzziah. And he saw the Lord. Oh boy, I could preach right here a month. How did he see Him? Woo! How you better see Him. High. How high? Higher than the highest. Taller than the tallest. Better than the best. Greater than the greatest. High. And lifted up. And he said, I got to looking around and the whole earth was full of His glory. You know what that word full means? Crammed in every crook and cranny. Full in Mississippi language means there wasn't nowhere in there where God wasn't. Where it said the glory of the Lord filled the house, that means there was nowhere in that house that God wasn't at. And Isaiah looked around. And he said, everywhere I looked, it was crammed full of God. The whole earth was full of His glory. And he said, about that time, one of them seraphims flew by and said, holy. And another one come by and said, I second it. Holy. And another one come by and said, I third it. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Holy! Man, that ain't no accident. There were three holies. Holy for the Father, holy for the Son, and holy for the Holy Ghost. Holy for yesterday, today, and forever. Holy for past, present, and future. I'm telling you, wherever you've been, He's God. Where you at, He's God. And when you get there, He'll be there, and He'll still be God. Woo! And Isaiah said, I won't forget that woe unto them part. I think I need to start preaching that second point. Woe is me. These Pharisees, these holier than thou fundamentalists, you know what their problem is? They've never been broken by the holiness of God. Can I run a rabbit real quick if I hurry? The reason why you're full of Phariseeism and pride, you ain't never seen God. The reason why you've got your nose turned up at everybody else that don't act just like you, you've never seen Him. Because if you ever get a glimpse of how holy He is, you'll forget how bad everybody else is. And you'll start hurling, woe is me. You know, my daddy was a preacher. My mama was a shout, and I was a good old boy. You say, why? Because my daddy would have beat the devil out of me if I hadn't been a good old boy. My daddy didn't read that book about warping personalities. He warped something else. Hello? Son, I got took to the woodshed, and a lot of times there was bloodshed. If I talked to my daddy like some people talk to theirs today, but he'd have slapped me so hard you'd thought the liberty bell cracked again. Amen.
Hey, you're right, brother.
Huh?
Yes, sir, buddy.
Man, I was a good old boy. I thought my mom and daddy had enough religion to save the world. But one night, I heard a man preach on the brand marks of a Christian. And he walked down through the Word of God and preached on seven things that'll be in your life if you know God. And if you'll pardon this country vernacular, I didn't have nary one. And I got lost. I'm talking bad lost. I'm talking about afraid of going to hell and afraid of going to sleep. Lost. And all of a sudden I realized, oh God, my church membership and my water baptism and my mama and my daddy's not enough. And I cried with Isaiah, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. And Isaiah's got a problem. God's way up there and he's way down here. He's got a problem. God's everything. He's nothing. He's got a problem. God's three times holy and he's eight times unholy.
Yeah, that's right.
Glory to God, I feel like preaching. But like Paul Harvey says, page two, here's the rest of the story. Woo! Highly intoxicated again. Glory! Why? Amen. I feel like traveling on, Lord of God. I'll shout the diverticulitis right out of me. Amen. Woo! While he's laying there. Woe's me. Woe's me. I say, Isaiah, what's your problem? What's your problem, Isaiah? Oh, I'd like to know a God like that. Oh, I wish I could have a relationship with a God like that. He's everything that I ever wanted to be, but I can't attain it. Oh, I can't attain it. And here he comes. About that time. I come on them heavenly visitors with a hot coal from the woo. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Right from the altar. And Isaiah said, he took that hot coal and he touched my lips. And that's when he heard the Lord say, who we're going to send? Who we're going to send? And that's when he jumped up and said, I volunteer. Here am I. Send me. I want to say with Elijah, touch my life. I want to say with Isaiah, touch my lips that I might praise the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Woo! If God ever touches our lips again, we won't have to have no seminars on soul winning. God ever touches our lips again, we won't have to have no seminars about revival. We'll be having one. God ever touches our lips, you ain't got to go to Tulsa and take a praise seminar. Son, it'll come belching out of you. Glory to God. I mean, son, you won't even have to practice or repeat after me. God ever touches your lips and hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You say, I don't feel like saying that. You get touched one time and you'll feel like it. You know what I watched my mother do all my life? I love that little old woman. I love her to death. You know what she taught me? When you don't feel like hollering amen, holler amen till you feel like hollering amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever got up on Sunday morning and if you'd have listened to the devil, you wouldn't have went to church? And you so messed up by the time you got there, you didn't get a thing out of it. Hello? But you came because you supposed to. Time out. There ain't nothing wrong with going because you're supposed to. Because if you go because you're supposed to, it won't be like, it won't be long you be acting like you're supposed to. So there's been some Sunday mornings. I strolled in about half dead. Felt like I couldn't go another mile. And then he'd come. I mean, glory to God, here he'd come. With a hot coal of amazing grace. Whoop! And the first thing you know, I'm at it again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you tonight, he deserves our praise. And if God touches us again, we'll give him praise and glory. He's worthy. Word. I say with Elijah, touch my life. I say with Isaiah, touch my lips. I close with this tonight. I want you to turn with me to one place, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 18. We're winding down right here. Couldn't find my handkerchief, and I'm using them paper towels out of the bathroom. I sure do appreciate that. One thing about them fresh paper towels, they ain't never been used. Look with me real quickly to Luke's Gospel, chapter number... Preacher, I enjoyed being here year before last. And I enjoyed being here last year. But maybe I needed it more this year. But I am so glad I came. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Can I come back next Monday?
Yes, sir.
Hey, just kidding. Oh, look at this. I'm talking about a God that can touch us. Luke chapter number 18. Look down in verse number 15. And they brought unto him also infants. Look up here at me. Can I break into singing? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's why I preach against abortion. That's why I don't vote for politicians that support abortion. Go ahead, son. Hallelujah. Lay down right there. I'm telling you, He loves them little children.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what do you do in your church when one of them little kids come to die? We pray with them.
Sure.
Love on them.
Sure.
Read the Word of God to them.
Sure.
And if they don't have the understanding, we pray with them and love on them. I'm not turning one away.
Yeah. That's right. I said,
I'm not turning one of them away.
Yeah.
I'm not going to convince them of something they don't have. But at the same time, I'm not going to say, go back to yours. No.
Amen, that's right.
I hadn't been married long. Me and my little sweetheart got in a little discussion. Come think of it, it was an argument. And if she wasn't subjective and I wasn't submitted, it would have got to a fuss. Yeah, I know your outfit. I've been over there. Ronnie! I've been over there. We got... Boy, I tell you, I said, bless God, you ain't saved.
Whoa.
She said, you ain't no preacher. Son, I married one that'll fight back, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes.
All you old-timey men that married them old sweet old ladies, God bless you. Pray for the rest of us. Amen, Bubba? Yeah. And son, yeah, blonde and a red, yeah. No wonder you bald, man. She tore it all off. I'm going to right there for you need revival. I'm telling you right now. Woo! I said, you're not saved. She said, you ain't no preacher. I said, bless God, I am a preacher. God called me. She said, I'm saved. God saved me. I said, all right, when'd you get saved? She said, when I was 9. I said, I don't believe a word of it. I said, how do you know you were saved at 9? She said, same way you did use 19, the Holy Ghost told me. I said, you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people may not have the understanding at 9 to be saved, but if somebody has, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So since I don't know, I'm just going to love them little children. One day, them grown-up disciples had something said about them kids sitting on Jesus' lap, and He rebuked them.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, you leave them alone. For such is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And let me scratch another itch while I'm on it. Any 2x4 idiotic preacher that thinks little kids and little babies die and go to hell in infancy, they're crippled too high for a set of crutches. I said, they're crippled too high for a set of crutches. He loves them children. And can I say this? If there's going to be a Unity Baptist Church 30 years from today, we better love them too. Brother Ronnie, I'm looking across this congregation tonight, and I see a lot of wisdom. I see a lot of wisdom where the gray has adorned the temples. And I wish I didn't have to say this, but it's true. There's a lot of people sitting in these pews tonight. You won't be here 20 years from tonight. You ain't going to live that long. But I see that little boy right there watching me preach. And I see them little girls right here. And that precious little girl right there. And this lady here with them two little babies. That one about to wiggle her to death. God bless you, darling. Oh, I'm glad she's here tonight. Praise God, I'm glad she ain't stuck off somewhere watching cartoons while the man of God's a-preaching.
Right.
I thought I'd run that while I'm on the subject. Hey! Woo! I want to tell you, say, well, preacher, they don't get a whole lot. You'll be surprised what's running over in that subconscious mind. And one day, that I'm the hog lot. God, I push. Glory to God, I'll be back in a minute. God, I push. I said, God, I push recall. I said, God, I push recall. I'm telling you, Sunday school teacher, pray and teach and love. God knows what's going on. Woo! There's a Sunday school teacher sitting right here tonight, already made up her mind at the end of this revival, they're going to tell you, I can't go on.
Uh-huh. Sure.
teach one more Sunday.
Right.
Just one more. And then just teach this one more. And then one more. And one Sunday morning, you're going to be standing during the invitation. And one of them little knot heads is going to get out of their seat. And they're going to stop by your aisle and tug on your coat and say, "Will you go pray with me?"
Yeah.
And then you'll act like a holy roller. Oh, I'm glad he loves the children. If there's one thing I see lacking in our Baptist churches, it's a burden and a desire to reach the next generation. And if we don't, drugs will. If we don't, the Muslims will. If we don't, the world will. Let's win them for God. Watch this now. And they brought unto him also infants. Read it out loud with me. That he would, glory to God, touch them. I want to say with Isaiah, touch my lips. I want to say with Elijah, touch my life. But I want to say with this text, touch my little ones. Touch. That he would touch. Boy, Boy, I'm glad my mom and dad got me to a place where he could touch me. Hallelujah. Boy, I can see it early one morning. Jesus is in the village. Remember that Sunday morning he came to your village? Boy, aren't you glad he knows where mill villages are? Aren't you glad he knows where tobacco planting villages are? What do y'all grow down here? Pot, peanutville. Well, aren't you glad God knows where them little villages is?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad one day God went to Gaffney and visited that little village and a little old boy gets saved. And the very day he gets saved at 11 years old, he asked Jesus to give him a family that he could serve the Lord with. Can I get real countrified? I don't believe he done that. Hal Rochester, I don't got to tell you this. You already know this. But you are a highly blessed man. If you never get another new suit, if you never get another meal, if you have to pedal a bicycle, God has been good to you. Saved your wife. Saved your young'uns. Working on them grand young'uns. I don't see how you keep getting lifted up with pride. I mean, you know what I mean, God. Ronnie Barfield, I'm telling you, buddy, God's been good to you. You listen to me. I dealt with 3 broken families last week. And all of them were preachers, pastors.
Yes, sir.
Their wives dumped them. Their kids fell out with God, pulled some kind of stupid stunt, and looked back there. Hey, she might be sick, but at least she's here.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Got a headache, but she's here.
Yes, sir.
I knew the first time I saw her head, she was going to have trouble with it. But anyway, she's here. That poor little blonde-headed girl was sitting. Do you know where she could be tonight?
I know it.
I said, that boy up there doing the sound,
yep,
giving the preacher man power.
Yep.
You know where he could be tonight?
Yes,
sir, I'm preaching to a blessed man.
Yes, you are.
I'm preaching to a blessed man.
Yes, you are.
Woo!
Yes.
I'm telling you, I'm glad there's a God that not only will save you, and not only save mama, praise God, he'll save him, young'uns. Woo! Jesus is in the village and they start going through the neighborhood. Jesus is in town today.
Yeah.
The Lord's in town today. Hey! Jesus is outside the village on the side of the mountain. You better get your family in on it.
Right.
Hey, Ben, you and your wife help me bring them young'uns on down here. Mom and Daddy say, hey, well, since Jesus is in the village today, we better go down there and see him. Why, I want to say, come on, help me, Scott. While Jesus is in that village today, we better load him up, go down there and see him. Hallelujah, in the Lamb forever. Why were they bringing them little babies? Why were they bringing them infants? Why were they bringing them little children? That He would touch them. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus sat up on that rock. And I believe He said, oh, I understand. You just want me to touch one of them. Amen. I believe He reached over there and said, oh, God bless you, honey. Oh, and gave her a little touch. I believe He said, I know what you want. Come over here. Yes, sirree. Yeah, you just want me to touch one. Hallelujah. Oh, just let me touch one. Can you imagine that little child growing up and its little girl say, Mommy, when you was a little girl, did anything interesting or wonderful ever happen in your life? Oh, baby. Oh, yes, it did. Early one morning, Mama woke me up and told me that Jesus was in our village. And we better hurry and get there because He wouldn't be there long. And I remember little Mama took me by the hand. And we climbed up the side of that mountain. And I sat in His lap. I felt His hand come across my face. And then He leaned over with the kisses of glory. And He kissed my cheek. I felt the hot breath of heaven go down the backside of my neck. Honey, Mama may not be much, but she remembers that day when I sat in His lap and I got a touch. I want to tell you, boys, our prisons wouldn't be filled and mental institutions wouldn't be filled and hell holes wouldn't be filled somehow if we get our little ones to God and let Him touch them. Oh, don't ever get over that night. Jesus touch them little ones. He might even said something like this. Touch them moms and daddies too. Hallelujah. I believe we got to walk around touching them little ones. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm about to get intoxicated. Woo! Come here, honey. Shake the preacher's saying. Oh, maybe one day God will get a hold of your life and touch you. And let me say to you, give me five, big boy. Oh, yeah, yes, sir. You the man. You the man. You the man. Boy, can you imagine one day, I just want to say to all you little ones here tonight, if God ever comes to one of your services and, boy, starts moving in the midst, just say like little Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant listeneth. And then tell him what God will do with you. I'm telling you, He can save your soul, but I'm going to tell you something else. He can save your life. And you old codgers, you listen to me tonight. You old codgers, listen to me tonight. The only hope we got for the United States of America is for God to move again and God touch again and get on our little ones. Got some grandparents here tonight. Your kids ain't raising your kids like you tried to raise your kids. And it's breaking your heart. And the only chance your grandkids got is to seek God over at your house. So when they come over to eat milk and cookies, pray Jesus will come to the village and touch them. Boy, aren't you glad one day His hand reached further down than you could reach up. Boy, I just want to say, oh God, touch my life. Touch my lips and touch my little ones. When the heavens come down, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let me say this in closing tonight. If we got any old codgers here tonight, you thank God for old time religion.
Oh, yes, sir.
God, any old saints of God here tonight, you thank God you got to hear the singing you heard and the preaching you heard and to see the shouting and the praise. Aren't you glad you got to get on church like you got in on church?
Yeah!
Hold them up and wave at me a little bit. I know when you get old it's hard to do that, but let's practice.
Yeah!
Just keep them on up there. How many of you really, man, did you really enjoy that kind of preaching and singing? If you don't, you're the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen. Because you're sitting there right now going, preach, boy, preach, boy, preach, boy. She's going, when's he going to preach? When's he going to preach? I'm trying! Well, let me ask. Get your hands back up now. Come on. Mom, Dad, Mamma, old Papa, do you like it? Ain't it been the best thing you ever happened to?
Yes, sir.
Ain't you glad you got in on it?
Yeah.
Well, look. Was it right?
Yes.
Is it good?
Amen.
Well, what's wrong with this generation? Oh, God, what's wrong with this generation? That same God that touched that aged saint right there is the same God that touched this little girl right here.
Yeah, that's right.
That same God that touched that man back there praising God while ago can touch this little boy right here. You can't never tell. That right there may be Amaze Jackson in the infancy.
Right. Right.
Bless God, you might be holding the next Percy Ray.
Yeah.
About that.
You might be holding a Tom Hayes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to say tonight, I'm glad God can touch us again. Anybody here interested in what I've been preaching on tonight? You'd like to have a good, fresh touch of God on you and your family? Let's hit these altars. I believe God's able to do it. Thank you, babies. Thank you, babies. Thank you, babies. Hallelujah. Come here, boy. I love you, son. Benjamin, I love you, boy. Thank you for raising a family for God. Hallelujah. Harold, thank you for raising a family for God. Harold, it pays to do right. Going to pay off in the long run. There may be some troubles and trials and some heartaches. Praise God, it's worth every mile of the trip. Hallelujah. I want to thank you and Mom for serving God. Hallelujah. Bless God, I love you so much, I believe I'll just adopt his mind, Mom and Daddy. Hallelujah. Thank God, I'm glad God is able to touch us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you tonight for your goodness. God, you've been so good to this congregation of people tonight. You've been so good to this little old country preacher. Lord, I love you. God, I want to ask you tonight, touch me again. Oh, God, touch me again. Help me, Lord. Touch my life. Touch my lips. God, them two little youngins tonight in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, God, for Bubba, Sissy. Oh, please. Oh, God, while on others thou art calling, do not pass them by. Touch them tonight. Oh, God, help us not to raise kids, but raise a champion for Christ. Oh, God, please, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We give you the glory. Help us now. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord.